into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America. No, 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 not God Bless America. God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America, for treating our citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Okay, hello everyone. It's April Fools. That's what you feel like, I bet, because it's April and you have to do your taxes. Folks, that joke is, that was sucked. That was,
you thought it was April 1st? April Fools. It's April later than that.
The whole damn month is for fools.
Well,
April,
you know what I was
the coolest month.
There is Easter happened in March this year, so April is really searching for another theme, and I guess the Fool is the only other. April Fool's Day is really the only other holiday that's happened this month, unless you are of the Jewish persuasion. So,
well, that was also 420. 420 is a holiday.
Hitler's birthday, yeah.
Also, it's also the weed day, depending on who you're asking.
Forgot about that. Yeah. No, we have a. Me and Andy have something cooking for 420. Actually,
that, you get some weed cooking.
Yes, and I'm preparing myself to ingest cannabis for the first time in a while. It's going to be interesting. I don't enjoy it anymore, so I'm going to be suffering for the listeners.
Eating weed is the it makes me have the worst day of my life every time I do it. But there's something fucked up in my brain that's causing that. April Fool's Day always reminds me of the tarot card, the Fool. I think it would be cool to make a really serious April Fool's Day celebration that's like occulty and stuff, and it's about the Fool going off on his adventure.
Yeah, you could tell people that this has always been a thing, and if they didn't know about it, they were uncultured and ignorant, and that every year in America, in every country, on April 1st, you flog a person dressed as a fool or something like that.
Yeah, that there's kind of Jordan Peterson-y logic to that. The symbolism of the Fool has been lost to history because of postmodern Marxists and they're gay or whatever the fuck he's mad about. actually kind of works because tarot cards are invented tradition. They have this like mystique about them that makes them seem like they're from a million years ago. But they're actually way more recently used for like fortune telling and storytelling and shit. They originally were a game. It was like Magic the Gathering for aristocrats. All that shit's retcons. That actually works. You know what? This boy might have to pin this. Maybe there's something here, something we could do with that. Hello, everyone. I'm Jake Flores. I'm the Fool, and I'm with the magician, Anders Lee.
Anders Foolin' Lee here.
Foolin' Lee. Love it. Man. I wonder what tarot cards we would actually be. That's interesting, but I don't have enough time to think about it. Hello, everyone. You know why I don't have any time to think about it? Because it's fucking tax season. Holy shit. I hate this. You probably hate it too, and I bet you don't even know why you hate it so much, and I bet you really don't know that it's by design. I have a hot one for us today. This is something that when I figured it out, it made me madder than I've ever been in my life. I always suspected that the tax thing was bullshit. Not like taxes in general, but the filing system that we all labor under. It's purposely confusing, which we'll discuss. But I did a little digging and I don't know why I'm so passionate about this. I think it's because I'm doing taxes right now, and it's annoying. And knowing that it's annoying on purpose is, I'm so mad. I want to shoot these people out of a rocket.
I always think about one of Noam Chomsky's, one of his arguably lib takes. I don't know if this is a good take or a bad take, actually, but he always talks about tax day and how it feels like there's this alien force that's separating us from our money. And it should, in theory, to him, tax day should be a glorious day where we all pitch in and feel good about what we're contributing. Sucks. Yeah. I mean, it's because like on a theoretical level, you know, eventually we you know, shouldn't have money. But I would think Chomsky would agree with that. But I guess he's like, maybe he's going by the logic of liberal democracy. If it was an actually democratic system, people would be rejoicing if it was tax day. But I think people would still, even if our tax dollars were better spent, I think most people would still justifiably not like it because it sucks. Even if it's going, even if you're giving money to a good cause, it sucks.
Yeah, it's still the part where you pay the money. The rejoicing would happen when you receive the benefits of the money.
Right.
I understand what he's getting at because there is some sort of like super fucking theory brained take on this where like in communism, will like actually your tax dollars actually do something. So, I mean, even if we have dollars at that point, right?
Right. But they said it won't feel like dishes. It won't feel like you're doing dishes after the revolution. It won't feel like you're paying your taxes after the revolution either, I guess.
It'll feel like it felt in primitive communism when you would share your corn that you harvested with you would feel good. Do you remember how that felt? I think I understand the take here. I guess I'm a doomer and I'm like, that's, in theory, the goal, and it'll never happen. Yeah. We will still never get to a point.
As bad as JFK take and his sports take, I will say. It's like maybe the third worst Chomsky take.
Wait, hold on. What's his sports take?
Oh, it's just, it's like a mechanism for social control and passive obedience. And there's, of course, truth to that, but the idea that all of sport is just evil and it's fun. It's
a lot of nerds tend to just do this thing where it's like clearly you were bullied by a sports guy. And so then in your work, you just write in like, oh, in the future, there won't be that anymore.
Right.
Like how, what's his face? Posadas said there won't be jokes because he got bullied.
He got really? Joked on so damn. Hard.
He said that in like communism, that there won't be a need for jokes anymore.
Man, comedy really is reactionary. Counter-revolutionary.
It's like, I kind of agree with the logic to an extent, but that's like, I just think that's like billions of years in the future when we're just like consciousness has been entirely altered by material reality or something and the body's had the chance to like catch up with evolution or something. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Fuck, it doesn't matter. We get to make fun of you when you make those takes, but interesting. I'm curious about his JFK take too, but I don't know if we have the time. I have been thinking about another dead guy, not an old guy, a lot. I've been thinking about Edward Bernays a lot. If you're a frequent listener to the show, you might recognize him as a person I'm obsessed with. And I think related I found a good book.
Chomsky, right? Chomsky, he inspired the term manufacturing consent, I think.
Get the fuck out of here. Is he related to Chomsky? He's related to Sigmund Freud.
Not related to him, but Chomsky lifted that phrase, manufacturing consent. It was Lippmann, rather. But Bernays was in the mix.
Similar vibes for sure. Okay, well, he's actually related to Sigmund Freud. Fuck it. Bernays is the father of PR. He sold the overthrow of Guatemala to the American public. The government was like, holy shit, you're really good at this. He used psychology. He's also the reason that like, here's one. I was talking about this on a previous episode recently. I was talking about how like breakfast, I always suspected breakfast as a concept is like fake, like an invented tradition thing like I was talking about. It's not actually, Jordan Peterson would argue, actually this is a good kind of wedge between him and someone like Bernays, or understanding Bernays. Jordan Peterson, somebody would argue like, man craves bacon because of his, we need more iron for our muscles. And traditionally, you know, we've evolved, we're supposed to be the bacon eating man in the morning. And the eggs and the grease from the hash browns is for lubricating our strong muscles. But actually, bacon is an Edward Bernays project. It's fairly recent. It's like 20th century shit. Fucking pork, you know, big pork or whatever the fuck. When I do an Edward Bernays episode, believe me, it's coming. I have Bernays brain right now.
I'll explain this in actual factual citable details, but it's something along the lines of like they just hired him to sell pork. And he was like, okay, I'll just make it seem like it's supposed to be a thing you eat in the morning. And he used PR and psychology to do that. And he nailed it. Everyone on Earth is, well, I don't know about Earth, but actually, when we talked to Jen last week, she told us about how they don't eat fucking bacon for breakfast in Vietnam. So this makes total sense. It's a Western thing, right?
Yeah.
I've just been thinking about the ways that he's just fucking manufactured our entire reality. And he's great. There's also like he's got a really interesting one where he sold cigarettes to women for the first time. Cigarettes used to be like a men's thing. And if a woman was smoking cigarettes, it was in an ad, and that ad was just designed to make men horny and then make them want to smoke the cigarette. So he figured out how to open up the market, you know, to the other half of fucking people or whatever, or other large percentage of people rather. Uh-oh, I'm canceled. But he came up with this PR program, campaign rather, called Torches of Freedom.
About cigarettes?
Yeah, I was making smoking feminist.
Okay.
Because of women's rights. So they were
when they got the lady cigs, right? The longer ones?
I think so. I'm going to interrogate this in detail when I read this fucking book, because there's all sorts of weird stuff there.
I have a guess that it's the same exact quantity of tobacco. It's just is longer rather than girthier. And that's how they, you know, the difference between men and women is girth and length or something.
Men like a good hog. They want to smoke a fucking soda can of a cigarette. Women, they like a little pencil dick. I wouldn't be surprised. That's probably something like that going on, because they like need it to still be addictive. Marlboro Reds, they're called cowboy killers, if you're cool. They're hyper masculine cigarettes. They're rough. You know, you can feel yourself getting the throat cancer when you smoke them. The reason they're reds is because they originally had red filters and were marketed to women. Do you know that?
Oh, interesting.
So your lipstick would, you wouldn't look all weird or whatever. I don't know. Anyways,
I wondered what it was about Luna bars that made them for women. And I think it might be tobacco, actually, because that's kind of how they taste.
Yeah. And women love tobacco because of Edward Bernays. Men love bacon. But anyways, I was thinking about him a lot because I was thinking about tax season and fucking filing taxes. And I've been on a journey with understanding how to do taxes as a independent artist and as a person. And I've just always had an inkling that something was up with this fucking system. And I didn't really start looking into it until last year when I actually just a random bar conversation, somebody started explaining the history to me, and I was like, holy shit, I got to put a pin in this and think about it and then talk about it on my podcast where we interrogate stuff like this. And I think about this a lot because like when I was younger, you freak out this time of year, you go, oh shit, I gotta go track down my W-2s and then you just plug them into some website. And then we make this little show around the time all of our little projects are popping off. People start to form LLCs, you know, mm-hmm. And we looked into it, and I don't think we make quite enough money to really justify that. And I have a suspicion that a lot of people are our peers that do form LLCs, like they do it kind of for the legitimacy that it lends you, you know, even though it's really not worth it if you're not making a certain amount of money. So I purposely resisted. And then I just fucking didn't know what we were doing for a long time. And anyway, long story short, we used to have an accountant. He hit me with a huge bill a couple years ago.
His name was Alex Patak.
Yeah, that's why he's fired. But we had a guy who did our taxes, and he would just tell me stuff like, oh, but the deductions I'm going to get you. Oh, there's so many deductions. But then he fucking billed me all at once years down the line. For just thousands of dollars. He just fucked me.
Every year it would be the same email. Because you would forward it to me and it would just be like, I do not recommend that you do. It would just be like, I recommend that you file as like an artisan or whatever the fucking term is. And it would be the same thing every year.
Yeah. But then I would pay him like $1,000 or something.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, but I got you so many deductions. And I just feel like, but if I did it myself, I wouldn't have had to pay the $1,000. And I probably could have figured out the deductions myself. So we just got fucked. but I learned my lesson. And last year I sat down and I just fucking was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out.
He also told me about a really good deduction involving Target gift cards, and I'm still waiting to get that back.
Yeah. Oh, man. Alex Patak, he really fucked us over. He's the person who scammed Anders. But I sat down. I put on a pot of Red Bull, you know. I rolled my sleeves up, and I was like, I'm going to figure this shit out. And in the process, I learned some things. And I did it. I figured out how to do our taxes, saving the thousands of dollars that we would have paid this motherfucker. And I think we've made it a year and I didn't get audited. So I think we're good. Unless you're listening to this. I don't know.
This is ripe for IRS listeners.
Yeah, I guess we're directly mounting an attack on them. So maybe bad fucking strategy on my part. But I learned how to do it. And in the process, I learned that those tax websites like TurboTax and shit like that are kind of sus. And if you do some digging, there's actually a way to file your taxes via the IRS website for free. It's really difficult to do. But there's some third party apps at this point that have come up in the last few years that are better than the big TurboTax and HR Block and Tax Act. And we'll discuss why. And I think how we got here. But I used one called Tax Slayer. If for self-employment, that one seems to be the best one. It's still a little sus. It's still a little janky, but I managed to file our taxes with it and do all the self-employment stuff. But back to Edward Bernays, right? The reason I was thinking about this is because when I was first starting out in stand-up, something happened, right? This week, there's an ad that went viral. It was comedians were freaking out as if we'd been betrayed on some level because it was presented in the form of a stand up comedian's like crowd work clip, the kinds that you see all over Instagram and shit, yeah. The kinds that you're just inundated with that everyone makes jokes about now because it's like, why do we just live in crowd work stand up world? So there's a clip of some guy, presumably a comedian, and he's saying, I didn't realize I had two Netflix accounts. Can you believe that? And he does like some bits and they kind of sound like stand up. And then all of a sudden you realize he's advertising an app that goes through your subscriptions and it tells you, you have like subscriptions that you didn't know you have and it cleans you up.
If people haven't seen this, it feels like it was not written, but produced by AI. Like the entire, everything about it just feels fake.
It does.
Punched a couple key terms into a generator. But yeah, I think today there's another clip, an actual stand-up clip going viral, although debatable if this is stand-up either, but, Sam Tripoli, you know where I'm
this
going.
This is AU, artificial unintelligence.
Sam Tripoli, who's like a, conspiracy lunatic and
he's a dumbass.
Yeah. Is also a comic. He has a clip where he asks someone their pronouns, clearly a plant in the audience. Yeah. He just got some random person to say, yeah, I'm they, them. And he says, I respect your pronouns, but you have to respect mine. They are. And then he says, real the N-word.
I thought you were going to say it. Oh, I was going to record this and use it against you.
Well, in the clip, in fairness, he bleeps it out. I don't know if it was him who bleeped it out or who, but
it's hilarious that he went to the trouble of saying that word and then promoting like I'm an edgy white guy comic who says the N-word and then he bleeped it.
What if it was Nazi that he was saying or something else? But I think that it would be more effective and more genuine for TurboTax to have this guy do their ad, you know, to shoehorn in a TurboTax ad about you using Sam Tripoli or a comic like that, just doing insane, lunatic, racist stuff. And then they're like, by the way, that's like, I need to write off all my N-words this A lot of times I say the N-word.
Yeah, you get a tax credit. It's from the Trump administration. It's a holdover.
Right. Too bad I don't, there's not a write-off for asking people's pronouns, because then I might do it and I'd have a bunch. And TurboTax would be a great mechanism for that.
The Federal Reserve would go bankrupt. It's just, there's too many guys doing that all the time. you know, that the future you're describing is not far off, I think, when they just full on monetize that shit. but I'm going to argue kind of the opposite point. So comedians were all making this, like, you know, we live in hell now sort of thing. It was very much, it sounded like when people complained about AI and stuff. And I kind of have this bailiwick I'm stuck on with regards to AI, where I'm like, it's not, I guess my thing I'm trying to make really specific is it's not the AI specifically, it's the capitalism. Like, you will get AI if you just keep having capitalism. Stuff like this is not specific to the era we live in. And I'll tell you a story that should make that apparent. Even though it does suck, it's a very bad ad. It's very demoralizing. Oh my God, they're making a fucking mockery of our art form, yada, 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 right? But, and they're making advertisements with guys that look vaguely like Tom Takar. And you're like, is it Tom? Wait, no, it's some other guy. And he's trying to sell me a stupid app. But this reminded me of something that happened when I was a young comic, right? When I was like in my early 20s and I was doing stand up, which is that I was just starting out and I was trying to figure out this whole thing. I was trying to figure out my whole life, you know, my whole worldview. I had a point of view. I wasn't quite sure how it all fit together. But I really remember this kind of making me feel a certain way, which is that the club I started doing open mics at, Cap City in Austin, Texas, you know, if you did good at the open mic, they'd put you on like the Tuesday show, the little showcase, right? And then once you were in the showcase, you know, they'd start sending you emails, let you do a guest spot here or there. And you know, you're in their system, and after a while, they go, okay, you're like part of the little roster, and they would send you other stuff, like contests and stuff like that are being held. Oh, you want to try out for this thing? Oh, we have a diversity thing. You should try out for that, which they were very bad at. There was a Latino diversity thing they had. They fucking put Kath Barbadoro on it because her name is Italian. It's the funniest thing ever. Fucking God, I hate Comedy Club owners, but I'm diverting. So they had this thing one time where they said, we've been approached by this company, TurboTax, right? I think it was TurboTax. It was either them or TaxAct. It was one of the two. And they were doing a campaign where they wanted comedians to write bits about TurboTax. But you might guess that you can't do an anti-TurboTax bit. Mm. It had to be like, wow, this product is so good. And then you'd write punchlines about it. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. I saw the email and stuff and was like, yeah, it's like, this sucks. Like, this is just way too far from where I'm coming from, you know. But it was tempting because you wanted to do a gig and get to be at the club and stuff. And maybe I think there was like a prize if they pick you, you'd make money, you know. And I watched. I remember I went into the club and I watched all these fucking stupid old ass white guy comics that are still hanging around now, you know, do these bits. And like, and some of these guys are good joke writers. Like, I remember this guy, John Ramsey, who's, he's funny, but he sucks. He's like a hardcore Christian psycho. I just remember watching him and he had written this bit and he was just selling it. And it was like, when I use TurboTax, I can write off TurboTax with TurboTax. And I remember watching it and I was like, I hate this. Like, I hate than anyone who ever at any point in their life, you know, started off when they were the fool, they were at the beginning of their life going off on an adventure. They wanted to tell jokes and explore the craft of comedy. And at some point down the line, that got mangled by the incentives of capitalism to the point that the end result is, I can write off TurboTax with TurboTax. It just fucking sucks, right? It makes me so sad about art when I see things like this. And I had the exact same feeling that everyone is feeling right now watching that stupid fake viral clip of that guy doing crowd work about his app, right? And I didn't realize until today that that was part of a fucking PR campaign. So let's get into the story of the Intuit company, right?
which is the company, the tech company that owns TurboTax. TurboTax is owned by Intuit, which until recently, kind of their main douchebag CEO for a long time was this guy named Brad Smith. He's exactly what you think of when you think of a shitty tech CEO. You know, at the company when you worked for Brad Smith, he made everyone wear T-shirts with his like sayings on them, and he was like kind of quasi spiritual. You know, he's like a white guy tech dude that's into like Buddhism. So he would make you wear a shirt that says "Do whatever makes your heartbeat fastest," or another one was "Repetition doesn't ruin the prayer." In Bangalore, India, workers put on Smith face masks as they posed for selfies with the man himself, right? He had a tour that culminated in San Diego, the home of TurboTax, the software that transformed the company's fortunes. There, Smith arrived at his party in a DeLorean as he walked a red carpet. I'm pulling from an article here that's in ProPublica, which is a it's a really great article. I'll link it in the show notes, and it plays into the story at some point. Apparently, ProPublica did a lot of interrogating and investigating into this, and it like eventually they became part of the reason that some of the things in the story happen. So he did stuff like arrive in a DeLorean at his own fucking event, walk a red carpet. His employees are cheering and waving "Brad is rad" signs. Which he clearly is the architect of all this. So it just fucking sucks so much. And there's this photo op that happened during this event where he met his favorite rock star, Gene Simmons from Kiss, wow. Which I don't know. I know you're not a rock and roll guy, Anders Lee, from talking to you about music, but
I like the classics, you know.
That's true. Well, how do you feel about Gene Simmons?
I was actually admonished by my dad for wanting to get a Kiss wristband.
Well, your dad was right.
Yeah, that's what he said at the time. He was like, "They're sex. They objectify women, son. Don't go for that."
Oh no, that's the wrong reason to be against Kiss. They just suck. and Gene Simmons is like a shithead. Like he's like a weird Zionist. He met with Trump. He's hyper, just corporate.
Yeah. My dad is also, I think it was musical reasons as well, because my dad's more of a classic rock, sort of Neil Young, Bob Dylan, those two.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I do like Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones. I didn't mean to cut you off. Was there a story about your wristband?
That was it. I wasn't allowed to get it because Kiss is sexist.
With your one earring, a Kiss wristband in the mix, you would be too powerful. You would be the king of 1995. So yeah, he met with fucking Gene Simmons. There's a really shitty photo of it. He's doing the rock, you know, devil horns thing. He's a CEO. It sucks. It's everything about the world that fucking blows. There's been a bunch of CEOs of this company. The co-founder, Scott Cook, is worth $3.3 billion. He's one of the richest people in the country. This is all for selling a supposedly free product, right? So something weird is going on. Intuit started in the 1980s. It was a bookkeeping accounting software company. Just a little 1980s software company run out of a garage by guys with weird haircuts, right? But they grew, right? They've become huge. Apparently they had a Super Bowl ad in one of the last Super Bowls that portrayed themselves as a giant, gentle robot that liberates small business owners from paperwork. The thing that they stress in their advertising is that doing your taxes is so complicated. You need us. You need our Gundam to help you do, you know, file a fucking W-2 or whatever. The company stresses values above all, urging employees to, quote, deliver awesome and pursue, quote, integrity without compromise, right? This is the stuff they put up outward facing. Interestingly, most countries have a free government-run tax filing system, but the United States does not, and it's because of Intuit. There's some weird discrepancies here. Like in a lot of European countries, they don't have one thing that fucking our stupid corporate system brings to the table that a lot of countries don't is like joint filing, but that's a whole other weird thing. Intuit in 1993 bought this company called Chipsoft, which is a San Diego based company that created TurboTax. And back then, TurboTax was on a disc. You'd go to CompUSA, you'd buy it. It comes in a cardboard box. It's green. Think back. You can remember seeing
it. I remember these. And speaking of my dad, I remember being disappointed that it wasn't a computer game.
Yeah, I know.
The colors and the font makes it look like the word turbo. Everything up to tax makes you think you're going to be blasting people with lasers.
I'm going to be turbo taxing. Yeah, that would be so fun. It'd be like a math blaster situation.
Yeah.
Oh, no, a deduction. Anyway, the internet happens, though, right? In the 90s. Breaks out. There's a dot-com boom. And all of a sudden, there's this possibility of moving the process of filing your taxes online. And Intuit sees a possibility of this happening. And they foresee that the fucking IRS might make their own program. Right? It's happening all over the world. Free government filing. It makes sense. The IRS wants to do this. Because from the IRS's point of view, that saves on their own budget, right? They don't have to process as much paperwork. They don't have to hire staffers. You can automate this thing. Everyone's happy. We can just stop fucking doing this, right? Mm-hmm. The dream of all this to a point, like people in the IRS talk about this, eventually, you know, you could just have like this thing called pre-filing where like they administer all of this information to begin with, right? Why do you have to enter it back into the system? They could just do your taxes for you in theory. Like, yeah. You don't have to be part of this. It's a stupid system that you have to guess a bunch of shit. And then if you're wrong, you could like go to jail. It's fucking stupid, right?
There is a country. I'm trying to remember which country it is, but it's like an island nation where that the government does that automatically. Because, you know, if you are filling out a form to work at a place, then they're getting your info. They're seeing how much money you're making. They just do it for all the citizens as a service. That's the way it should be everywhere.
Just take it out without us having to be involved. Then it doesn't feel so fucking horrible when you have to fork over the money. You just never knew it existed to begin with.
Right.
It's like sales tax and shit. It's fucking fine. It'd be way more manageable. This whole thing is so maddening because it could and should exist like that. And there's a fucking reason it doesn't. So, here's the reason, right? When all this is happening, when the IRS is starting to warm up to the idea of creating a program where people could just go and fucking plug their shit in, or maybe not even having to do that at all, Intuit gets fucking pissed off because they want to sell TurboTax, right? So they hired a guy named Bernie McKay. Bernie McKay, a one-time Carter administration aide and senior lobbyist at AT&T, hired him to be the vice president for corporate affairs. Intuit executives like to talk about having a, quote, customer obsession in developing their products. McKay's obsession is stopping government encroachment. Now, this is a word that's going to come up a lot. His term for the government making a fucking app to where we can do our taxes for free is referred to in his language as encroachment. Because it's the government encroaching on his liberty to fucking sell stupid tax programs, right? He was known to physically bang the table to drive home a point. McKay's style is aggressive to the point of offense, said one fellow tax prep lobbyist. An Intuit spokesman said, this mischaracterization of McKay is pure fiction, though. he's an asshole, though. He, for his part, at one point, he was asked at a tax industry conference which Star Wars character he identifies as. His response is Darth Vader. This is an asshole. That's crazy. That's a crazy ass thing to say if you were a tax guy.
Maybe he has sleep apnea like you.
That's, you know what? Fair point. But wait, okay. I want to snap back with, well, first of all, I'm already a character in Star Wars. I'm the guy from with the weird green jacket. And there's a baby version of him. Thank you very much in the new show.
Baby
Jack. You know, you just made me realize there's not a lot of good sleep apnea mask representation. Like, I was going to say, well, maybe there's a guy on the Rebel side, but there's not.
Let me know. They don't show them sleeping very often. So
they do kind of have masks on when they pilot the X-Wings.
Yeah, and that's her. That's probably, you probably does something to your, you know, throat situation to be up that high in space. So they maybe they have some similar mask.
No, it's just that the X-Wings are automated. So you fall asleep, you need a sleep apnea mask.
There you go.
That's why fighter pilots wear them too. I actually don't know that they wear masks, and I'm way out of my depth here. People are gonna get mad because I'm talking about Star Wars.
They wear headsets. The Rebels wear headsets. This is with the first trilogy, and the Empire fighters, actually, the TIE wings, they wear masks.
God damn, you're right.
So you could be one of those guys.
Having sleep apnea is so Empire coded. You know, it's really unfair. anyways. Let's jump forward a little bit, right? So that year, when they hire McKay, Congress passes a pro-private sector bill. It's a bill that McKay's lobbying put into effect. This guy's an aggressive lobbyer, right? He makes it to where they pass a bill that's like, you know, we've addressed the fucking issue of how do you file your taxes and the pro-private sector. Oh, we need to, you know, to nurture these companies and yada, 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 right? But oddly enough, in the year 2002, the George W. Bush administration passes a broad initiative to upgrade government technology. This is just something that just happened in the W. administration. They just sort of said, okay, we just need to, like, update. All this tech stuff's happening. Let's just update all these government programs and stuff. And one aspect of that happened to be tax filing. So oddly enough, the W. administration is in the opposite position here to the fucking Intuit company. This happened because there's this thing called the Office of Management and Budget, or the OMB, right? So a group of Republican lawmakers led by TurboTax's hometown congressman wrote to the agency arguing that there was no reason for the government to compete with the well-established established private tax prep companies. Intuit's lobbyists also went above the OMB and pressed their case directly to the White House. So they start this just bullshit argument that, like, oh, there's a marketplace and the IRS shouldn't compete with it. They said that at the IRS, all hell broke loose. This guy, Tony Lutz, or Terry Lutz, said, he said, who is the head of electronic filing at the agency, the IRS. Intuit's clout on the Hill meant that lawmakers were soon accusing the IRS of making, quote, secret plans to undercut the industry. that's something that guy said. The agency ran the risk of seeing its funding cut if it were to pursue the Bush plan. So they get in this weird situation. I think Intuit probably got the actual Bush administration to clamp down on the OMB, right? And they start to just pressure the IRS into being, like, not part of the tax filing process. This is very much in keeping with Cheney, shock doctrine shit, just privatizing everything, right? Totally makes sense.
yeah, that is annoying how, like, at first it sounds like a pretty simple idea that you can use the IRS website to file your taxes for free, but then you get the fucking propaganda of being an American where it's like, well, but it's like all but the government centralization and that's bad. And, you know, a lot of people I could see, I don't know how popular or unpopular the program was. Most people probably hadn't heard about it, but still, like, that does make people more susceptible to, like, a private shitty bureaucracy if you're just like, well, now it's not in one place and you shouldn't have it all in one place, even though that's where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, this story is just fucking rife with, like, weird old guys who are just yelling that the IRS is communism. And one of the things that, like, they say to argue against the IRS being a thing that you can file the taxes with is that it's a conflict of interest because they can't be the preparer and the processor of your taxes. For some reason, that's bad, right? That creates some sort of conflict of interest where they're like incentivized. It's bullshit, right? I don't fucking love the IRS. Listen, I'm a communist. I want the fucking weird glowing ball of light future tax day thing that Chomsky was talking about. But like, I would rather pay the taxes to the IRS website than the fucking TurboTax website, because TurboTax website costs money. We'll get to that. But the IRS also sucks. We'll get into that why right now, because you'd think right now the IRS is in like opposition and conflict with Intuit, right? But the IRS commissioner at the time was also against free online filing. The IRS commissioner at the time, Charles Rosati, opposed the idea. The IRS customer service staff, already too thin to respond adequately to Americans' questions about the tax code, would have to grow substantially to handle millions of software queries. Congress will never give you sufficient funding, Rosati told ProPublica. So you might be like wondering why, right? Why would he say that? Wouldn't he say you should give me more funding? Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Short answer is, a lot of the people working in the IRS are lobbied just out. They're just lured out of their interests in serving the IRS. A lot of them, they go into the private sector after their fucking political career. Happens all the time, right? In politics. It's a big problem with fucking liberal bourgeois politics. The other thing is that they kind of like clamp the budget hard enough that they make the IRS unfunctional, and then you get a result where like the guy running it says, well, we can't do it because we can't work as well as the fucking private sector, right? So in 1999, Intuit organized a coalition of tax prep companies under the name the FFA, the Free File Alliance, right? And after negotiations with the IRS, the group agreed to provide free federal filing to 60% of taxpayers, or about 78 million people at a time. Government officials touted the solution as a marvel of public-private cooperation. Americans would get free tax prep, and it would cost the government almost nothing. So they put this fucking weird thing together called the FFA, the Free File Alliance. And they said, oh, you know, we'll have like a, if you make under a certain amount of money threshold, it'll be free. And then everyone else can pay because their taxes are a little more complicated or whatever. That on the surface seems like it might work, even though it's fucking unnecessary, whatever. Sure. But the thing about the FFA is that it's comprised of 17 companies. So it's presented as like a weird, like, what would you call this? Like a, it's not like a, I mean, it is technically a trust, but
yeah,
I think they're presenting as like a league of companies or something, like a lobby. Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, what would they call it in like rose colored glasses? Like they're saying like, oh, this is all the best companies. You know, competition is healthy. Right. We've got all the big ones together, and we've sort of made like a co-op situation where we, you know, it's gonna. I think what they're trying to imply is that it promotes, you know, competition and market growth and stuff like that, right?
An alliance.
But in reality, what would you say?
An alliance.
An alliance, sure. Even that sounds, I don't know. What I'm trying to get at is they're really trying to fucking spin this. But in reality, the FFA is not 17 companies. It's just Intuit and, to a lesser extent, H&R Block. And they make up basically a duopoly. The other 15 companies are like, do your taxes.com or whatever. They're like scam websites, fucking sign spinner shit, right? So for Intuit, it was a culmination of years of lobbying. The IRS had signed a contract that said it will not compete with the FFA in providing free online tax preparation and filing services to taxpayers. So they carved out this weird like public-private thing where they could just like say, well, technically there's an option to file with the government, but they're like not really allowed to promote it. They can't compete with it. It can exist, but they can't really talk about it. And so it creates the situation where they have the entire market, right? And in return, you know, they technically say they provide free filing for a lot of people. So how do they make their money? Oh, it's just off of this other stuff. You know, the really complicated tax stuff that, that you would want to pay someone to do for you, right? In theory, right? But, okay, so let me jump ahead a little bit. This is all kind of working, right? And they have like, they have a business model here that, I mean, I don't understand how people don't get this, right? You're not stupid. They're a company. They're making money somehow, right? How are they doing it? Mm-hmm. It's in there, right? You might have noticed when you use these websites, the word free is all over the fucking thing.
Yes.
And then at some point near the end, you're like, wait a minute. I think I just spent some money. I don't know how they did that.
Right. Do you remember those commercials like 20 years ago for H&R Block where they would say you walk into an H&R Block location and you get $100? That's what it said in the commercial. And yeah. Even as a kid watching it, I'd be like, there's no way that's true. And there'd be a mountain of like small print at the end of the ad. And it just made me feel so bad for H&R Block employees because I don't know what the caveat was, but I am 100% sure there was at least one, if not 15 caveats to getting the $100. But they still must have had like dozens of people coming in every day being like, where's my $100?
Yeah. Somebody said something on Twitter recently that was so fucking good and so true. I can't remember. I'm going to look it up, but somebody was talking about how like the thing about conservatives is that they like consider themselves to be these huge skeptics. You know, they're like railing about like, oh, big pharma and all this stuff, but they believe advertising. It's just part of their ideology. Is they're like, well, if someone's selling something, then it must be like true, you know? Yeah. And like I, as a kid also, even the concept of commercials, I was like, this is clearly like, why would they, you're trying to make money off me. You're trying to sell me something. Why should I believe you? Like, it was already in my brain from the get-go, but they really do. Key to understanding those people is that they just love capitalism. They believe in it so much that like that bullshit fucking works on these people. And like Edward Bernays is part of that. PR is part of that. You know, when I want to insert here. This is a perfect spot to put it because it was H&R Block. When I was like in my early 20s, I answered an ad on Craigslist to be part of a focus group. And what it was H&R Block sent these two fucking women with clipboards out to just talk to young people and people who check certain boxes about filing taxes. And they asked all these questions about how you feel about it and stuff. And I remember they said, oh, pick a place to meet, like a cafe or something. I made them go to the Jackalope on 6th Street in Austin, which is a loud, disgusting punk rock bar that the back bar specifically is where the punks tend bar and hang out and stuff. And you can smoke and get shit faced at shots and stuff. It was a great time. I got drunk and then they asked me about how I do my taxes. I brought my taxes in a McDonald's ghost boo bucket, and I told them, this is where I keep my taxes, and I don't use companies like H&R Block because I get paid one W-2. I work at a fast food restaurant. Why would I need someone to do that for me? And they were the individual workers I was working with, very nice. You know, they were like totally, you know, they asked all the questions they were required to ask, but I told them, I think, where we're coming from. I was like, I don't believe you that it's free. You know, I'm incentivized by money. I have no money. I'm going to do the free version. But years later, now I'm thinking about that. I'm like, that was fucking PR. They were trying to figure out how to sell this shit. Right. So they have this like freemium thing going on. It's kind of like when you're playing Fortnite and it's like just constantly, do you want to buy something or whatever? One of the ways they get away with it is when you're doing your taxes, like, you get all the way through the federal tax, and then apparently you have to pay to file your state taxes. That just sounds like something that's true. It's not, but they just tell you, oh yeah, you have to pay for this part. That's not part of the free. And then you pay them to file your state taxes, right? That's a big one. I'm jumping ahead of myself, though. I'm just so excited about the psychology part of this. Tax Act comes along, though, and fucks up the FFA. So there's one other company you probably heard of. Tax Act, right? Mm-hmm. Tax Act decides to offer free filing for everyone, not just people that meet a certain threshold of income, right? They have the CEO named Lance Dunn. He accuses TurboTax of collusion, of a violation of antitrust laws by making the FFA. He's right, but he's just trying to kind of do the same thing. He's, by asking everyone in the FFA to restrict who they offer free filing to, that's violation of antitrust. Later on in 2011, H&R Block actually tries to buy Tax Act, and they get sued by the Justice Department for this, for trying to create a duopoly. Fucking true. But we're not to 2011 yet. We're back in 2005. So in 2005, the IRS wrote the Justice Department asking if it would run afoul of antitrust laws if it made it illegal for the FFA to offer free filing. Because the IRS is like, it's in the middle. It's waffling this entire time. It's so weird. It's not really standing up for itself as a state thing. This is America. We have a state, but we hate it, but we are it. It's fucking stupid, right? So they're talking to the Justice Department. They're like, how do we act here? Like, what do we do? And the Justice Department tells them that if they, if the FFA restricted free filing themselves, it would be price fixing, which is what they're doing. But if the IRS were to block them from restricting filing, that's technically legal. So the IRS did this for some reason. They helped the FFA by blocking them from restricting filing. This gets kind of complicated. There's a guy named Bert Dumars, the then head of electronic filing at IRS. He wrote, there's been a huge jump in people using free file in 2005, but no corresponding boom in people paying for tax prep. If this trend continues, the IRS was concerned that it could cause many vendors to go out of business. So the IRS is like concerned, because it's not really in competition. Like, this shouldn't be a competition, right? There shouldn't be a thing that the state does and a thing that the fucking market does. But he's someone who's at the IRS saying, we're concerned we're going to take too much of your business. So stock market analysts, he pointed out, had said free file, quote, represented a threat to future revenues and profits of the publicly traded company participants. So when I say free file, I mean the public-private partnership deal that they struck. That's the term for that, which is going to come up over and over and over again in this. The weird middle ground compromise that's stupid and fucks everyone over. So the IRS decided to remove the threat, right? Because he said free file represents a threat to future revenues and profits. Okay, so now FFA companies legally have to restrict free filing to certain customers, people who make under $50,000. So they figured out a way to use the IRS to make it to where it's not price fixing if the government is saying, no, you have to do this. The language got a little bit murky here because I was starting to really get confused, but that's the end result. If that was confusing, the fucking IRS figures out a way to basically make price fixing fucking happen, because people working at the IRS are also being lobbied by all these people.
There's kind of like a industrial capture, regulatory capture thing. Is it similar to, we talked about Boeing, which is also in the news again, unfortunately, but where, all the regulators, they're basically like regulating themselves, and there's like a revolving door between the FAA, not the FFA, and the company Boeing. Is there a similar situation with like the IRS, TurboTax, these companies?
Yeah, industrial capture, I think, is a great way to put it. Or at least I think that's what I'm getting out of this. Yeah. I am also on a journey. I am the fool. trying to learn how to do taxes, or how this fucking works. So yeah, I think that's a good assessment. Let's continue on our little journey here. 2006, right? TurboTax is now barred from offering, quote, free filing on the IRS website. That's something that happens, right? So it starts using the word free on its own website. So it's weird because TurboTax is like, you could go to the IRS website to do your taxes, but now this whole legal fucking labyrinth has played out in a way where they can't say they're free on the IRS website because there's just weird fucking legal shit that just happened. So they start using the word free on their own website, but it's with a big asterisk, right? There are two options at this point. You can actually file your taxes for free on the IRS website, or you can use the fake free website, TurboTax, that says free all over it, but doesn't say free on the IRS website. Complete fucking insanity, right? So the company came to a key insight at this point. They figured out that Americans' anxiety about tax filing is so powerful that it usually trumps any frustration with the TurboTax product, according to three former Intuit staffers. Because they're in the situation where they're like, okay, we kind of have to sell a bunch of shit for free. How do we turn a profit, though? How does the guy who started this become a billionaire, right? So even if the customers click on, quote, free and are ultimately asked to pay, which is a thing that, like, that happens when you use one of those websites, right? They figured out that you'll usually do it rather than start the entire process all over again, because it fucking sucks to do your taxes. So if you get all the way to the end and then it goes, surprise, you have to pay like a few dollars. Yeah. Just fuck it. I'll just give you the fucking money. Right.
Right. I mean, for, you know, when I only had like one W-2 job, it would just take it out of the return, because I would get a return every year. It was great. And then I started making like just above the threshold, and also being like a freelancer, even if you don't make that much money, because we don't withhold every time we get paid, you just end up having to pay like a lot at the end of the year. But before that, like, you would just take it out of your return, and it didn't seem like that much because you're still getting money back, but it's still a racket.
Yeah. There's just like a bunch of different angles that they come at this with. These little things you notice, you know, oh, they took it out of my return. Ah, fuck it, I'll pay the extra dollar. I'm all the way at the end. I stayed up all night doing this. All of these are by design. Intuit capitalized on this tendency by making sure the paywall popped up only when the taxpayer was deep into the filing process. They also used something, this is so on brand, my little goth socialist podcast listeners. They used something called dark patterns.
What?
This is a tech thing, apparently. Every fall before tax season, the company puts every aspect of the TurboTax homepage and filing process through rigorous user testing. Design decisions down to color, word choice, and other features are picked to maximize how many customers pay, regardless if they are eligible for the free product. Quote, dark patterns are something that are spoken of with pride and encouraged in design all hands, said one former designer in the design world. Dark patterns are tactics used to get the consumer to do something they don't necessarily mean to do. So just like evil design, like web design shit that just is like, leads you in directions where you accidentally click on something. I mean, this is like, you know, I mean, this is what like pop-up ads and shit are. This is a thing in advertising all over the place, because like people don't want to be advertised to all the time. So you have to trick people into shit.
Yeah.
If users initially click on the deluxe software, they are never offered the choice to go to the free edition, even if the no cost option would produce the same return. So like, if you are eligible to get a free return, it's very difficult to actually go in there and get it. There's a big fucking button for deluxe, and it makes it look like you can get in there and then revert to free filing if you happen to qualify for it. That is not how it works. Quote, maximize your deductions was legendary at Intuit for its effectiveness in steering customers eligible for free filing to buy the paid product, according to a former marketing staffer. That fucking deduction thing that I was talking about earlier with our ex-accountant, Alex Patak. He's always trying to sell me on those deductions. Another celebrated feature, former staffer said, were the animations that appear. Dark patterns. The animations that appear as TurboTax users prepare their returns. One shows icons representing different tax deductions scrolling by, while another at the end of the process shows paper tax forms being scanned line by line in the phrase, quote, let's comb through your returns. Dark patterns. What users are not told is that these cartoons reflect no actual processing or calculations. Rather, Intuit's designers deliberately added these delays to both reinforce the user's, quote, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Wow. Ugh. You know, they want you to think that they're tax wizards. They're evil wizards.
I would feel a little more at ease if the let's comb through your returns had like the Spaceballs gag with combing the desert.
The big comb, yeah.
Yeah, the giant comb going through a bunch of numbers. They should do that.
Well, they're probably listening to this. They're probably going to put that on one directly marketed at you. So prepare yourself. The animation emphasizes, the animations emphasize that taxes are complicated, but also reassure users that the technological wizardry of TurboTax will protect them from mistakes.
Thank God.
Tax sorcery. That's what I think. Like a Harry Potter wizard. You're a transphobe.
Yeah. There is one reason I guess I'm slightly more comfortable with just in this way with being a private option is that I'm not saying I've done this. I may have known people who've done this, but you enter all your W-2s, I-9s, whatever, and then you owe money, and then you take just one off, and you don't owe any money, and you get money back. And some people just, you know, file without the extra return that's going to put you over the limit.
Yeah.
Part of me, I'm just like paranoid that, or I would be that if you did it on the IRS website, they would like see you taking it off and be like, no.
Yeah. Would they though? I mean,
probably not. It's
they're also getting this shit, like the ones that you do through the TurboTax website, and they don't have any money. You know, they don't hire or pay anyone to do any of this shit. It's my understanding that if you're making under a certain amount of money, they're not even looking at your shit.
Yeah.
That might be wishful thinking. I don't know.
You do have to, if you file, I have learned this the hard way, you do have to pay the whole thing eventually. You can't forget. Like I did one year I did a deferred payment and then just forgot to do it. And they had an incorrect address for me because my work at the time had the wrong address, even though I tried to change it. So they're just sending notices to my old address. And I didn't get notified till like 2 years later. It's like, yeah, you still owe a bunch more in taxes. But as of this week, I paid it off.
I think I used to just not pay taxes because I just like didn't want to do it. There was a rapper who got fucking like sent to jail for this because he made a shit ton of money. And they asked him and he was just like, I don't know, man, I forgot. And like that used to be where I was at. And I think I wasn't paying taxes during years. I would have like gotten a return too. But I eventually had to fucking figure all this shit out and get it all fucking worked out all at once.
Right. No, I remember people telling me as a teenager, like, you should do taxes. I was like, well, I'm young. I shouldn't have to. And they're like, no, but you'll get money. And I'm like, no.
Oh, man. So let's jump ahead a little bit. That was Dark Patterns. IRS, free file. So the actual option to free file on the IRS website is basically dead by like 2007. The budget is slashed. It can't compete with the FFA's advertising budget. FFA spends like $800 million a year to advertise a free product, right? Doesn't make any sense. It's not fucking free. The IRS spent like $2 million. They put ads out. There were ads that were like, hey, come to the IRS. And it like sucked. You know, nobody fucking bought it. They didn't have enough money to like compete. No one gives a shit. This is America. People are like, fuck you, you know, government, communists. So it's just dead. It's like unusable. Obama tried to reform the IRS free file system, but motherfucking McKay lobbied Congress just to death. And basically, he started what is their ongoing project, which is they want to codify the free file agreement into law, because as of now, it's just like an agreement. Okay. They want to make it the law that there has to be this like, weird public private thing and the IRS can't do anything. And it's, you know, they want the law to be that H&R Block and Intuit TurboTax are just the entire economy for this thing. Which, like, this is something that also they openly sort of brag about. There's this term, TAM, like tax, fountain market, some shit. There's like language in their own internal stuff where they describe every American citizen as being like in their TAM, which is like their market, you know, share or whatever the fuck.
Tap an ass market.
Uh huh. That's what it is. Republicans have historically been the company's most reliable supporters, but some Democrats have joined them. Representative Zoe Lofgren, the California Democrat whose district includes part of Silicon Valley, is one of the people who says, you know, oh, they have a conflict of interest with the IRS, yada, 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 right?
She's the worst. She's like a defense shill, too.
I brought her up because I was certain you would know who she was. Congress also passed a law that the IRS could have no funds for creating a filing system. So it exists, but it's illegal for them to like get money to make the website where you do your taxes for free and don't get fucked. Intuit starts doing AstroTurf PR campaigns, right? It's very Obama era shit. They paid all these people in groups like the Women Impacting Public Policy and the Latino Coalition and the National Black Chamber of Commerce to just make like advertisements and public statements saying like, as a Latino, I love using TurboTax, you know, just shit like that. It makes no fucking sense. This is just very Obama era PR where it's like, you know, it's woke to do your taxes through a profitable company or whatever. It's feminist for you to pay state tax for no reason, to file your state taxes and to use junk products that you don't actually need. And black people love it. At the barber shop, everyone was talking about H&R Block.
If you think about TurboTax, the brand has no gender. You know, I can't sense what it is. It feels non-binary.
That's true. Turbo reminds me of a Sonic the Hedgehog character, so it definitely is non-binary or trans. There you go. Or a number of things on the internet. I'm going to get canceled. I'm not going to pursue this any further. What would TurboTax look like if he was a Sonic character? He'd be like green.
It's going to happen, I'm sure. They're going to sponsor one in the next game.
Oh, man. It's definitely going to happen. God, art under capitalism is so sad. Why was the IRS so friendly with Intuit? You might be wondering. Some of the IRS's top negotiators now work for Intuit. Do you understand? They just lobbied them to the point where they gave them these paths out of the job of working for the IRS to just working for Intuit. And you know, they interview these people, they ask them about it, but they all just say this bullshit fucking canned Pete Buttigieg line about how they care about the taxpayer. And that's why I went into the market, because ultimately I care about the taxpayer. No one cares about the taxpayer. I don't care about the taxpayer.
Regulatory capture, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. And it's just the language, the PR language here is just, oh, the free market's good. So, I went into the free market to make it work better. 2018, out of nowhere, the IRS decides to audit the free file system, though. This is weird. This just comes out of nowhere. And this, I think we're going to understand why in a minute when we get to what happened. But July, Council Chair and University of California Davis law professor Dennis Ventry wrote two pieces criticizing an Intuit-backed bill in Congress that would make the program permanent. So they're trying to codify it. This fucking professor comes out of nowhere. Writes an op-ed. He called his op-ed in The Hill was called "Free File Providers Scam Taxpayers. Congress Shouldn't Be Fooled." So, in response, the IRS rose to Intuit's aid. The IRS is just completely cooked at this point, right? Every once in a while, somebody can get through, make them do their job or whatever, but mostly they just work for Intuit. Right. So they rushed to go ahead.
Because I remember at this time there were states. I remember Minnesota being one where they were like, we don't recognize TurboTax. Like the state attorney general, I believe, was like, this is a bullshit company. And don't they? I think they may have tried to ban it, if not banned it or something in some states. New York wasn't one of them. And at the time I was like, I didn't know what else to do. Like I was like, should I look into this? I guess it's bad. I don't know how else to do my taxes though, so I'm gonna have to do it again.
That's Edward Bernays. The fact that you don't know how else to do it is fucking PR, man. They craft reality using Sigmund Freud's psychotic brain to make you think that TurboTax is normal. That's the, how you do your taxes. Yeah, but so there have been like people who kind of called bullshit on this in the state, like in the government at various points, and they just get crushed by the fucking lobbying power of the FFA, right? So the IRS rushes to ensure the company that Ventry's power to affect the program is limited. Don't worry about him. According to emails, the Free File Alliance, Alliance had obtained through public records. He's no, don't worry about him. The commissioner has met directly with Mr. Ventry, which is an IRS official, says this guy, Ken Corvin. He writes this to Steve Ryan, a lobbyist for Intuit. An IRS official writes to an Intuit lobbyist who also represented the Alliance. He says, Mr. Ventry will recuse himself from participating or contributing to the topic of Free File. They clearly have just like broke this guy's legs or some shit. A few days later, Ryan, the lobbyist, arrives at the IRS Constitution Avenue headquarters in Washington to mount a defense of the program. A former Democratic Senate aide turned lawyer lobbyist, Ryan is known on Capitol Hill for taking politically fraught clients like Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, and the governor of Qatar.
Government of Qatar, yeah.
Yeah. Or the government, sorry. Qatar does not have a governor. It's not a United States state.
When people talk about the governor's ball fest, that's what they mean. It's in Qatar.
Yeah. I'm voting for him, by the way. I think he's been doing a good job. Governor Greg Abbott is the governor of Qatar. He helped create Free File in the early 2000s, and now his job is to secure its future, right? So they got this whole fucking apparatus, these slimy lawyers and stuff in place. Ryan, the lobbyist, made a PowerPoint presentation at the IRS, which rehashed arguments that the company had been making for the past 15 years. It also highlighted a 2013 study by Brown University professor John Friedman, a former Obama National Economic Council official, to make the point that the program had been successful in generating, quote, free tax returns outside of Free File. Bullshit. He's doing, you know, fucking PR propaganda shit. The presentation did not mention that Friedman's study was paid for by the Free File companies. And was not published in an academic journal at all. Friedman declined to say what he was paid by ProPublica, but he, quote, wrote the piece based on my analysis of the issues, which I stand by. So this is one of the situations that happens all the time in politics where, like, the person presenting the thing neglects to mention that they are, like, being paid by the thing. A lot of those AstroTurf campaigns, too, the it's Latino to do H&R Block or whatever. People said they got paid like $70,000 to say shit like that.
Oh, would you have done that if you had been offered?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? No, I'm probably not. I don't know. That's a lot of money. I purposely don't. I've been offered like acting, just like, oh, do you want to get into acting? You know, maybe pursue like a relationship with an agent before and stuff like that. And it's just, when you read the fucking commercials you have to do, I can't stomach it. Like, you do commercials for banks and shit. Yeah. I want to say I couldn't, but if they just showed up on my doorstep and they were like, we want a vaguely Latino, sort of confusing ethnic guy who's just weird and everyone hates him on the internet. We want that person to say that they use TurboTax and they open a briefcase with $70,000 in it. I don't know. I might quit this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would if I could, but I had the same thing. Like, I tried to record a voiceover reel. Actually, my dad helped me with it a few years ago, and I just couldn't get my head into it's a mental thing. You're acting, right? You're doing a performance, but the character just is the brand of whatever you're talking about, and you have to like sell that and genuinely love it and express that through your voice in a really subtle way, and I just couldn't make it happen.
I can't fucking do that either. It's why I could be like a character actor, like I play myself, but mm-hmm. like, or I could act maybe like artistically, but like the shit you have to do to become an actor is just do shit like that, and I just fucking makes me want to fucking throw up, dude. Yeah. Don't have it in me. Anyways, so Ventry, the professor, wrote that op-ed criticizing the FFA. He gets a letter saying his emails are being subpoenaed because he's a university professor and he works for a public university. So it's, you know, just hey, what happens all the time. He says that was the FFA trying to, quote, freak him out. Okay. This is like a cool, I'm assuming somewhat leftist leaning university professor. He's like, these people are trying to freak me out, man. around 2018 to 2019, there's lots of back and forth around this audit, and the FFA basically is intimidating and lobbying the IRS into accepting their amended version of the free file program. Well, I could get bogged down here in describing this, but basically the free file agreement is up for like a sort of amendment, and the FFA does a lot of lobbying to make sure it gets reshaped to their designs, you know, and they spin it as like, oh, we're just making it function better for everyone, you know, but really they're protecting it from being reformed. There are a few small wins though in the amendments that protect consumers from like junk products and stuff like that. And that guy Ventry said the FFA was, quote, pissed.
Uh-oh.
He sounds cool the way he talks. I like him. They try to freak me out and they're pissed off, man.
I wonder how far they would go, because there's some industries that I genuinely believe will try and kill people. I don't know if, I mean, Boeing being one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if TurboTax and FFA would go that far, but maybe.
I was kind of thinking about that. So I was thinking about the Boeing guy, Funkle, yeah. Swampy. Yeah. And I was half expecting them to kill this guy, but I think he's still alive. Intuit, though, is fucking evil, is kind of my conclusion here. Over just a two-week period, this past filing season, Intuit received nearly 7,000 TurboTax customer calls in which they the phrase, quote, supposed to be free was uttered. And the thing about Intuit, and I think that this ProPublica journalist that did this like investigation is maybe like FOIA-ing a lot of this stuff, and like he's, you know, getting us a peek inside their internal communications that they probably didn't want to be leaked to the public, is their like PowerPoint presentations, their language, there is no like subtlety, there's no pretense of innocence. It's super villain speak. They're just like talking about how they go, we need to put the word free out more. Yeah, we got 7,000 calls with the phrase supposed to be free. How do we, you know, get them to stop saying that and stuff? It's fucking evil. They explain everything in just completely aware detail. One customer complained that Intuit charged him even though it says free, free, free in the commercial. The TurboTax representative responded, that ad has been the bane of my existence.
Yeah, it sucks for the people who work there, too. Like I was saying with H&R Block, like you have to deal with angry people who thought they were being ripped off constantly.
I mean, they're in the business of purpose. It's like their entire product is purposely deceiving people and using the word free like crazy. They figured out legally they could use that word, I think, when they figured out that they couldn't use it on the IRS website. So they did shit like they put an ad, or they bought space in the New York Times and put together a crossword, right? Because everybody loves a fucking New York Times crossword. All of the answers were free. Four words, you know, fucking doesn't cost money or whatever. It was like that stand up crowd work clip we were talking about. It looks like a fucking crossword. You start playing it, you realize it's an ad for fucking TurboTax, right? Mm. They did this shit knowing that it's free with an asterisk next to it. They could get away with saying. So they just drove home this idea that it was free, even though it's not. The IRS, every once in a while, audits the FFA's attempts to codify the free file. But usually the person doing the audit turns out to like work for them. Like it's just no kidding. Left and right. You know, any attempt to squash this thing, the person just gets bought out. ProPublica, this media outlet, claims like responsibility for stalling the codification, because their goal right now is to fucking make this the law, and they've been trying really hard. In their own language, they say that like they thrive on us seeing this as more complicated than it is, which is like. Okay. It's kind of making me think about like Israel and how they got away with like a lot of what they do with like, oh, it's really complicated, you know. Right. This feeling where you're intimidated and it feels like a pain in the ass to do your taxes is by design, by this specific PR campaign, It's to make you give up and go, I'll pay someone else to fucking do it. It doesn't have to be this way. And they know that. And they know that if we know that, eventually someone's going to whistleblow on this shit and the whole thing could go under, which is why the current CEO is this guy named Sasan Gudarz. He has this famous quote where he says, you know, because they're in conflict about trying to codify it and stuff and getting investigated by the IRS every now and then. He says, what we're not going to do is fight this publicly, because that is exactly what they want us to do. But so he wants us to do. I don't know. They, you know, okay. Everyone that's trying to do their fucking taxes without having to go through this bullshit. I guess the IRS maybe, or anyone at the IRS that hasn't been bought by them. Okay. Anyone just trying to pull apart this whole system. He's aware that if there's a public spotlight on this, people might wise up to what's going on. So his strategy is to negotiate with like the IRS and the government and shit directly and try to keep it just out of the public eye as much as possible.
Right. Is this guy like spiritual? Is he kind of like a hippie dude too?
I haven't looked into him. I'm sure okay. He sucks.
Because I have kind of a, it was just been thinking about, you know, you mentioned the dude who, the founder, right, is into like Buddhism or something like that.
Yeah, but he's a white guy, Brad Smith.
Okay, because there, well, that's in keeping with this, because I have no, I'm realizing now, so my family, we used to be in the middle class of the Washington, D.C. area, which includes a lot of people who work in and around taxes, people who work for the IRS specifically. I have noticed this. I remember, like, you know, friends of people's parents or whatever. I remember the IRS bureaucrats are really into, like, spirituality in particular. Like, there was a guy, someone's dad, who every time he would go through a toll booth, he would say many blessings to the toll booth person and was, like, into Buddhist shit. And then my uncle did something with taxes, and at his funeral, the priest speaking was like, oh, I used to work in taxes, too, and I pursued being a priest. There is something about the field that just has some weird, and maybe it's because it's so dull and mundane that you just, your some third eye opens up in your mind just out of sheer boredom. And
yeah, it's like your Job or something. Yeah. Like, it's like, well, like being, how people get religious in prison or something, you know? Right. I don't, you know what? That actually kind of works. Like in like a sci-fi story that the IRS just like turns into a weird futuristic religious cult thing where they worship the almighty power of like the calculator or the fucking form or some shit. Uh-huh. The form, I could imagine it as like a Fallout sect or something. I am going to hesitate to accuse Sasan Gudarzi of being illegitimately spiritual because he's definitely an Indian guy, I think. but he's a huge fucking, he sucks, he's evil, he's part of the story, right? He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. I tried to look him up while you were asking me that question and while you're talking about that, and he doesn't have one, which leads me to believe that's definitely gotta be on purpose because he's mega famous and powerful.
Yeah.
There's a, like, it looks like another one. Oh, I'm sorry. He's from Iran. Whoops. I'm canceled again. but I don't know. I'll look him up maybe for a future episode because there's some stuff in here that looks like it might go somewhere funny. Worked for Credit Karma and MailChimp and, you know, just a fucking tech dickhead. Oh, this is what I was looking for. Personal life. Gudarzi resides in the Bay Area with his wife and they have two children. Doesn't say anything about his fucking religion. Anyway. It might just be for other reasons that he's spiritual. The tech Buddhist guy thing is only really funny when it's these white guys and they're making it super evil. Anyways. so that's how we got here, right? That's leading up to about 2019. And basically where we're at is that they have a stranglehold on all of this and they fucking want to codify the situation. And that's pretty bad. But you shared this article with me earlier. I've been reading about it. Something's happening right now. In 2024, right? the year we're in, something's happening. It started in 2022. There's an actual IRS direct filing system being soft rolled out. So they're finally kind of doing it. But there's some caveats to it. It's being soft rolled. There's a soft opening for this. It's only being put out in a few states, partially because I think some of the people behind this are holdovers from the Obama administration, and the ACA rollout, the Obamacare, was a disaster because of the way they rolled it out.
Right.
So there's just like design approaches, development approaches in tech about this sort of stuff. You know, one of them is you overly tinker with the product before putting it out. And the other one is that you sort of like roll it out when it's in beta and then use the fact that it's out to like tinker with it and make it better. They did that with Obamacare, but because of what the thing does, it didn't work the same way like a video game works or something, right? it was politically a disaster because it didn't fucking work and all these people complained about it and stuff. So they're trying to go the opposite tack this time, which is why it's only being rolled out in a few states. They tried to do I looked them up. I can't remember what the fuck they are. One of them was supposed to be Alaska, but it can only do really basic tax stuff right now. They haven't figured out how to make it do what it needs to do. And they had to nix the Alaska project because everyone in Alaska gets a form of UBI that's like from the oil industry out there. Cause they have this weird economy because it's Alaska. And that would have, because everyone gets that, that's a form that it can't process. It would have like, they would have a 0% success rate. It would have just failed in Alaska.
Damn.
So it's being rolled out. But interestingly, the current IRS commissioner that I think is behind this guy named Danny Werfel, he was in the OMB, the Office of Management and Business, in the George W. Bush administration, right? The ones earlier, remember when it was like out of nowhere, the IRS audited these fucking guys? Mm-hmm. I think that was him. So interestingly, this guy, Danny Werfel, he worked for the OMB in the Bush administration. And then he was there still during the Obama administration, and Obama made him the IRS commissioner. After that, he went private, as all these fucking people do. But Biden rehired him as the IRS commissioner, and that's why he's here. And I think that's why this direct filing thing is maybe happening. I'm not super optimistic. If you've paid attention to this whole story, they keep crushing this shit every time it happens. They're still, you know, they're not being regulated. Biden might hire guys like this, but he also loves capitalism and, you know, is a shill, right? So,
right.
Your guess is as good as mine if we're ever going to get to use this in California or New York.
Yeah, I know they have allocated more money to the IRS for the purpose, supposedly, of cracking down on like tax havens and rich people being tax cheats. So I don't know if that's kind of what spawned this. They had some extra funds to throw around and they wanted to make a go of it. But I am curious to get your take on how I should do my taxes, because I'm getting ready to just do TurboTax again. How else should I do it? What should I do?
I'm so glad you asked, Anders Lee. Wow, that wasn't a plant, but it was a perfect setup for what I wanted to talk about next.
What are your pronouns?
What are your pronouns? That's what they're asking us in our tax forms now, because the tax is it's communist to do your taxes, not on TurboTax. My pronouns, are you getting the gay tax credit? Make sure you use if TurboTax.
I hope I qualify. I'll do whatever it takes.
There's still time. So the one that I used last year, and like, man, I wish I had like a really good call to action for this, but this is like, I came up with this idea like today because I was thinking about all this and I started doing the research and stuff. So like, I don't fucking know really the best way to do this. My advice personally, having gone through all this and figured out how to do it without getting fucked last year and this year, is if you go to the IRS's website, there are a bunch of programs and other websites that the IRS has like a link to. It says you can use this one. It's like, it's not TurboTax and it's simpler and it does other things or whatever. And the one that I use is Tax Slayer, It worked pretty well. It's okay. Pretty intuitive. It's kind of doing what TurboTax says it's going to do, but it's actually free, I think. If anything, I think because we all have like a week or whatever to figure this out, everyone should be doing their own like kind of research into this. And I will, on the next episode, I'll try to pop back in and see, tell you what I found. But if you act, a thing that is very unintuitive about this is to actually go to the IRS's website. But there are actual free options, and they work at this point better, even after what appears to be two decades of just like being fucking sanctioned and hampered in all these ways. They've managed to cobble together a thing that you can plug in your stupid W-2s and shit and get away without having to fucking buy something, I think.
Okay. Well, that's something. So,
yeah.
Tax Slayer, we should have asked to sponsor this episode, basically.
Maybe. I don't want to stick too hard to that because I have a bad feeling I'm going to look into them and find out they're part of this too. But it worked for me better than fucking TurboTax. Because I tried to do TurboTax last year. I couldn't do what we needed to do because we have a weird situation where technically you're like an expense of mine. Paying you. Again. I'm like a business as a person, and then you're an expense. It's the only way to make our shit work without forming an LLC and then losing a bunch of money, both of us or whatever. Mm. And you're not losing money on this deal either. It's I send you a form and whatever. We figured a lot out or whatever. We figured out how to divide up the cost. But there shouldn't be a cost because we don't make that fucking much money.
No, we don't.
But anyway, I couldn't do it on TurboTax. So I had to look into this, and that one was the one I found. They have other options on there. There's these weird little apps no one's ever heard of because the FFA has this fucking hegemony on the market and they have all this PR stuff going on.
Yeah. Man.
There might be different ones that work better for other people in different lines of work. I don't know. All I know is that fuck Intuit, fuck dark patterns. I knew this was bullshit. I knew it was by design. I knew someone was fucking me and I couldn't figure out how, and I figured it out. It's these goddamn FFA motherfuckers. Fuck them. I hate them. They should burn in hell. Tax Slayer sounds cool because it has the word Slayer in it.
Indeed. All right. Yeah. I had to figure out my income for healthcare purposes, health insurance, and I looked up my day job W-2, which I may or may not have. And I saw it, and it was weird to get like that second of relief where it wasn't that much money, and then it sunk in like, wow, that really is not a lot of money and I'm fucking broke.
Yeah.
It's weird to see it all splayed out. A year, your annual income is kind of an arbitrary number, at least for like a lot of people like us. Like it's different every year. Most years it's not much.
I have been thinking a lot about how money like passes through you in a way, and it's just difficult to hoard it and hold on to it.
Yes.
That's what being broke is, and it's by design. And like, God, you know, I mean, also with inflation, it's just like, it's constantly creating more anxiety because you're just moving larger chunks of money around in your life. And every year it feels like a bigger chunk because of inflation on some level. So when I was younger, I mean, I made no money until we started this podcast. I used to just be one good push from homeless. And like, I would file taxes and be like, I made like, I don't know, like $15,000 that year or something, or like $10,000, you know, be living in a room for $75 that was a closet and like barely working and doing stand up and stuff. And then we started to make, we're still fucking street urchins by the standards of society, you know, but every once in a while I have to do taxes and look at it and I'm like, oh, I made like, you know, fucking 25, 30 grand or something in a year. And I'm like, huh, but I'm still broke. How is that? It's because it's just moving through you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I got a little bit nicer of an apartment. Now I'm broke again because that's how that works, you know, but I don't live. I'm 37. I can't live in a closet anymore. I can't live on the fucking street. You know, it's just always going to catch up with you. It fucking sucks.
Well, that's a good plug for the Patreon.
please, for the love of God, give us money. I just saved you so much money. And you listen to this whole podcast. I'm doing dark patterns right now. You listen to the whole podcast. What are you going to do? Go back and listen to it again without giving us $5 for our Patreon? Come on, just pitch in the $5. Yeah. It's a premium. It's for your state Patreon subscription. You have to give the $5. I'm a wizard. There's a comb happening. We're combing through your wallet for $5. Please sign up. In fact, you can give us more money if you want. I've never made one of those stupid Patreon tiers where they're like, oh, pay pig, give us $1,000. But I will if someone will fucking pay it. You have the option to do that. I want to be like Fugazi.
$5 and then $1,000. Nothing.
I might. You know what? I'm going to fucking do it right now. It's yeah. Every single podcaster did the pay pig joke. And like I've looked at people's Patreons. A couple of them fucking people do pay that shit. Ugh. Nice. Well, you can also sign up for my other shows, which I sell via Patreon in sort of a freemium manner, much like TurboTax, where the main episode's free and then there's bonus content. But I think it's as honest as we can get in this situation. And believe me, we are fucking homeless, Anders and I. Well, we're close. Sorry, I don't want to claim actual unhousedness. That's a little gauche, but we're fucking poor. Right. We're you can be employee of the month on the King of the Hill podcast Patreon.
Oh, nice.
It's $100. You get to be employee of the month. That's comes with thing. Nothing. That's my podcast. I don't know you. I do it with Avery Moore.
You don't get a free propane accessory?
You just get to be employee of the month.
Okay.
My other one, Why You Mad? We put out our episodes early. That's cool. If you're big head, you're really into the show, you can hear them before everyone else. $5 a month. $5 a month.
Interesting. We're kind of experimenting with different things on the Vanquished Patreon. We do have a lot of good bonus content there, including extended episodes. So we've been doing past couple. We've done like the first half is public, and then you get the full thing behind the paywall. So you should sign up for that.
But we'll find out what happens to Dennis Kucinich on the paywall.
His story is still being written, brother. He might win for Congress. I think there's a chance, not a very high one, but he's running as an independent in Ohio because it's like a red seat. You know, it's not the Democrat isn't going to win. So he actually has a better chance running without a party affiliation. And, you know, it's mostly same old Dennis. He went a little kooky there with the RFK stuff, but. but I don't, that may make him less likely to come on and be interviewed by me, but still we wish him well.
But yeah. Well, tell him I believe in aliens and then we'll talk.
you can hear about Barry Goldwater, about John McCain, and Joe Lieberman at the Vanquished. So check us out where you get podcasts.
Yeah, check out all of our sister shows and I've got some dates coming up. I'm going on a little tour of the Southwest here. I'm doing a show at the Good Night on 420, nice. The holiday, here in Los Angeles with my pals who run Avatar 2 out there, and I may or may not have heard a little birdie tell me that I might be doing a character which is either Cheech or Chong, and I haven't decided which one yet. But I'll also be doing stand up. And then I'm also coming to Bisbee, Arizona. If you happen to fucking live out there in the sticks in the desert. And where the hell am I going? Albuquerque, Dry Heat Comedy Club. Very cool club run by Sarah Kennedy out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm coming to Vegas and I haven't decided if I'm going to do stand up there. I might just be getting drunk. Also, I wanted to tack this on to my announcement for that Bisbee show. When I went to announce the show that Maggie O'Shea is running, a comedian out there, cool person who's a pretty hardcore kind of crust punk that I know, that's a comic, plays a ukulele and shit. Very cool person. But I'm just trying to paint a picture for you here to set this up. She used to live in a cave. She's cool. Yeah, she's a crazy Bisbee person. She's very funny. She's running a show. She booked me. On Facebook, she announced it. She put the poster out there. And then someone responded to it saying that they are a fan of mine and they think I'm funny and that they think the show is going to be good. And that person was Nathan J. Robinson.
Nathan J. Robinson.
Current Affairs, who we've discussed and we don't hate, I think, right?
I don't know. Let's have him on the show. can defend the allegations.
Apparently he's a fucking fan. I honestly, like, we've talked about this a little bit on the show. Like, I'm not a hardcore. I think, you know, Twitter people are dumb, and they kind of went, they just, people that don't understand that situation went off in a certain direction, and like, I don't understand it. So that's kind of where I stand. But I don't think I'm very confused by this, because he's got a confusing political sort of stance right now, or he's a confusing person. I'm a fan, and I'm flattered because he's complimented me and our show before. So yeah,
it's always hard when somebody does something that is probably bad, but then also they're nice to you.
Yeah. So I'm trying real hard not to just be like, oh, he's cool because he likes PDA or whatever.
But he might also be unfairly maligned. We'll do a show on it, I'm sure.
Nathan J. Robinson, if you're listening to the show, come on in. We'll do it. We'll film it. It'll be like one of those alt-right podcasts where a bunch of guys are hanging out in a room and doing alpha brain and shit. And we'll watch the Sam Morrill clip and make fun of it.
Yeah.
We got Nathan Robinson. That's He's Sam the real Morrill. Ass duo of the week, dude of the week.
Wait, Sam.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I'm sorry. I called Sam Tripoli Sam Morrill. Different guy.
Yeah.
Sam Morrill is a good comedian.
Yeah. The Sam Morrill is a guy who talks like Humphrey Bogart, kind of.
Yeah. Hey, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
Forget it, Jake.
What are your pronouns?
Who's this Nathan J. Robinson fellow?
That's a good impression. Damn.
I have one range, and it's in the gutter.
I can talk down here. I'm Batman.
Okay, fuck. All right, I think I've gone off too long. I'm extra caffeinated today. I'm just really angry at TurboTax. We need to end it.
All right, it's finished.
It's filed.